This is Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. Joining me today in the JPR studios is the band Darling Side. It's bassist Dave Senft, guitarist and banjo player Don Mitchell, on violin and mandolin Oyan Mukherjee, and on guitar and anything else today, Harris Passeltiner. Welcome, you guys. Welcome to JPR.
Thank you very much for having us.
Tell me the backstory of your band name, because there's an interesting literary connection to this, if I understand correctly.
Yeah, there was a literary critic, Arthur Quiller Couch, who advised writers to kill their darlings and basically said if you start to fall in love with something that you're writing, you should think about editing it out because it's probably self-indulgent and readers will not like it as much as you like it yourself. And it might, you know, being attached to it holds you back from maybe moving forward in a way you might not have expected. And so we liked that idea, and we sort of coined the term Darling Side, as, you know, pesticide is to pests, Darling Side is to darlings, but we changed the spelling from the expected C to an S just to have it be more easily pronounceable and not be so deathy.
Well, you like the idea, but how have you upheld the tenet?
We're constantly getting better at it. It's a struggle. I don't think we'll ever perfect it, but it's certainly something we do think about.
NPR Music called your music Baroque folk pop. How does that sit with you?
It's fair in that NPR Music can say whatever they want about us as long as they say something about us. And I would say it's less far off the mark than lots of things I've heard about the band, so I'll take it.
Tell me about the title of the new record. This is not your first, but it's your first in this incarnation of the band. It's called Birds Say. Where'd the title come from?
Title is taken from the lyric in the seventh song of the record, which is also called Birds Say. And it's don't know what the birds say, don't know what the birds listen to them all day, nothing sounds like words. I think that's right.
That's it. You got it.
Okay, I got it. And
expert.
We went through the album and we kind of look at phrases or things that pop out or seem to kind of embody a lot of, you know, maybe something that's sort of at the core of a lot of the songs or a lot of the things that we're saying, and that something about it just sounded right and kind of sits at the center of the record, sort of at the heart of things.
I'm actually a bird watcher by hobby and formerly by trade, and people ask me all the time, did you name the album? And the answer was no, that Dave actually wrote that particular lyric, or he started that lyric. We kind of write them all collaboratively. And so it's more just about, you can't really understand what the birds are saying, but it means something to you, even though you don't know what it means to that bird.
I definitely want to touch on that idea of collective ideas a little bit later on, because you guys often sort of speak as one organism, I guess, when it relates to music. But first, I want to hear some music. Let's hear what NPR Music called Baroque folk pop. My guests live in the studio today, Darling Side, the new record is called Birds Say. What do you want to do first?
We're going to play a song called The God of Loss.
Just your face. spider does its work with flakes of garlic.
That is The God of Loss. It's Darling Side, live on Jefferson Public Radio, a tune from their new record out on 30 Tigers called Birds Say. Well, let's talk about how the four of you originally got together, because we have a lot of musicians that are here from Massachusetts. Usually it's Boston Conservatory or something like that. For you guys, Williams College. Tell me about Williams. What is this school like?
It is a small school in northwest Massachusetts, kind of nestled into the armpit up there, right by Vermont and New York. We all graduated from there between 2006 and 2009, but we overlapped for 1 year, and during that year we also all sang in an a cappella group together. None of us studied music as our major or sort of took it as our major, but we all played in different ensembles together and in both and individually sort of did different things while we were there. And then when Harris, our youngest guy, along with our erstwhile drummer, graduated in 2009. They were our two youngest. We moved into a house together in Hadley, Massachusetts, and then sort of were based in Western Mass for a couple of years there, and then have since moved to Boston. But we've certainly met a lot of folks from Berkeley and NEC while in Boston, but none of us actually studied there.
So I mentioned just before the tune that your music creation seems very, very egalitarian.
That is correct.
Bits and pieces of every song come from each one of you collectively. Has it always been that way, or did you start off by individually bringing songs to the group and kind of vetting them?
It actually sort of morphed over time. When we first got together, the four of us were individually singer-songwriters and would bring in sort of finished pictures of songs and try to have all the parts planned for each instrument, that kind of thing, arranged beforehand, and whoever wrote the song would sing it, kind of thing. And over time, we've actually intentionally sort of shifted it towards exercises that get the four of us to, you know, dump lyrics together and, you know, mix them into one page and try to pull out sort of group consciousness lyrics, and also smashing different melodies from different people together, or having different people, pairs of people sing different parts, and basically approaching it more as an ensemble or a unified voice rather than each individual person's voice.
Is it true that you have kind of taken that idea of Darling Side being one organism so far that you now take credit for each other's stories?
That is true. There have been a few situations where I've been hanging out at a dinner table and telling a story about something I experienced as a kid, and then Oyan will interrupt me and say that actually happened to me and that did not happen to you, and you're stealing my story. And I didn't realize it, but I was actually thinking he had sort of created a memory in my head that I actually thought that I had experienced.
I think it hasn't yet happened, however, that one person corrects another person and says, hey, that's my story. But then a third person corrects that person and says, no, in fact, it's my story.
You're still young.
So, you know, we still have a lot to do to be truly egalitarian.
You guys obviously have a fair bit of stuff, physical stuff, lots of instruments in the studio. But for the most part, you do a lot of crowding around one microphone. Why is that important to you?
Well, when we rehearse, we tend to have no microphones. There's something nice about having sort of a minimal amount of difference between that setup and the performing setup. We used to perform, each of us, on our own microphone, and it's almost a different thing entirely from the way that each of us found music and the way that we were musicians for most of our lives, which was just sitting in rooms and playing guitars and singing, and then to each be in our own microphone on a different part of stage and to be hearing our voices coming back at us from a monitor is this very, very different experience, and it's almost separate from being a musician. It's just something that, you know, you get used to it, but there's something amazing for us now about the fact that what we're doing on stage is exactly the same thing that we do when we're rehearsing. We just put a microphone in front of it, and our voices blend before they hit the microphone rather than afterwards.
Set up in a radio studio is quite a bit different than when you're projecting sound out to a crowd, but do you not use much in the way of onstage monitors when you're performing either?
We have just on this tour opening for Patty Griffin, because we have a consistent sound setup every night, and we're working with a sound guy every night that knows our setup, so he's actually been able to start giving us some monitors because, you know, we're in really, really amazing rooms and we have some time to set up and get the sound perfect. But for the most part, in most rooms, we don't use monitors at all just because it tends to feedback with the microphone. Mm.
Congratulations, by the way, landing the gig on the Patty Griffin tour. You guys are technically label mates now, right?
We are, yeah, that's right.
Fortuitous. Darling Side are my guests live today in the JPR studios. Their new record is called Birds Say. It's on 30 Tigers. What do you guys want to do next?
We're going to do a tune called Go Back.
We were always on our way, rolling up our sleeves, ever moving forward in the tracks where we lived our simple lives, kept our blinders on.
That is Go Back. It's Darling Side live on Jefferson Public Radio. Music from their new record called Birds Say, out on 30 Tigers. So despite the fact that on stage you generally try to keep it pretty simple, if I understand correctly, in the studio you have done some tricks with your vocal tracks. Enya style of massive overdubbing, is that true? Just to make some fullness?
Well, I would say yes, some tricks, but very old school tricks. Actually, the old recordings from Crosby, Stills, and Nash, they would clump around a mono, you know, basically an omni microphone, and just stand in a group around it and sing. And there were only three positions to which you could pan something in a stereo mix. It would either be center, left, or right. Just only coming out of the left speaker, only out of the right speaker, or evenly mixed to the two. And so they would sing as a group a mono track and stick it straight up the middle in the center, then sing over it again and overdub over themselves and put that hard left, sing over it again, put it hard right. So it has an in-the-room sound of just people singing live, and at the same time it has a very wide stereo feel. So we use that effect throughout the album, not on every song, but especially on the title track, Birds Say. You can hear what those sort of omni, big, wide open vocals sound like.
A little bit earlier, I mentioned that there was a previous incarnation of the band. You mentioned your erstwhile drummer, who's no longer in the band. It was as big as what, like seven people at one point, right? And then five. Now it's consistently four.
You know, it started as four, is my understanding. I was not one of those four, so I probably should not be the one answering this question. But four guys who were in a singer-songwriter class at Williams and started backing each other up and putting their songs out into the world. And then that eventually grew to seven during college and then shrunk back down to five. That was me coming in, and then back down to four. So it's kind of going back.
And there's an earlier record, too. Pilot Machines from 2012. Is that a record that you're hoping goes away, or are you okay with that still being out there in the world?
Oh, no, we are quite pleased with that record. It is certainly a different sound, and it's very nice now to be able to have both that and the Birds Say, which was representative of what we were doing for a while. We were doing a slightly nasty trick at live shows where we would play as a four-piece and then sell people a rock album. And that didn't feel great. But not because we have anything against Pilot Machines as the album. It's just it wasn't what people were hearing, what folks were hearing at our shows. But we are extremely pleased with that one, and we released an EP. EP1 was that prior to Pilot Machines. And so that's sort of our body of work.
Did you catch how Oyen just corrected himself? He said people first, and then he adapted it to be folks said, to imply folk audiences, not just average people.
Exactly. You guys seem to have a mantra, if I understand, that softer is better. You seem to be happier with the sound of the band when you tone everything down. You can hear each other a little bit better, and it's just a comfortable spot to be in.
I'd say at least for us, toning, I wouldn't go across the boards, because I think we all enjoy some raucous music, and I certainly personally grew up listening to, you know, progressive rock and metal and stuff. So I do think that everything's sort of context dependent. For us in particular, quieting down the stage mix and quieting down the instrumentation has allowed us to better hear the lyrics of the songs, better focus on the voices, and also I think we've learned to play more dynamically because of that, learning how quiet you can get. Then when you open it up and let it get nice and loud, it can really have more impact that way.
Well, and some of the fallout of making that decision is it creates a much more intimate experience for the listener.
Yeah, definitely. It's funny, you can go into a really big room or a festival and open up with a quiet song, and it's sort of like when the teacher in front of the classroom, if the teacher's yelling at the students keep talking, but if the teacher goes, "Now class," you know, right, it's a kind of quiet thing, then everybody turns and shuts up. So we've had that experience for the most part when we play a quieter set and turn the volume down, and there's occasionally a bar where people are. They're not going to listen.
Is it true there's still a no jazz policy in the band?
Yeah. In that none of us know how to play jazz. I was once asked to play jazz, and this was during a transition when I had played the violin for a while but hadn't really played the mandolin for very long, so I didn't know what chords were. And so I was supposed to read a chart, and I just saw a bunch of notes and letters. And it was one of the most harrowing experiences of my young life. So I certainly avoid it, and I think the rest of us continue to as well. Playing it. I don't think any of us have any sort of hatred towards the genre itself. It's just a healthy respect for what we cannot do.
I think it's also less the genre of jazz, but the fact that jazz is often associated with improvisation. Did I just say that word in some crazy way? Improv.
Improvisation.
Improv. Sure. See, this is why we don't improvise. You can see in our banter the tragic effects of improvising too much, so we keep it completely out of our music and script everything.
Well, you guys have definitely landed in a good spot. The new record is beautiful. My guests today live in the JPR studios, the band Darlingside. The new record is called Birds Say, out on 30 Tigers Records. You can find them on Facebook or their website, which is
www.darlingside.com.
I always like to ask one non-musical question of each band, and for you guys, I want to ask about your affinity for baked goods. There's a bakery that is a favorite of yours, Levain Bakery. Tell me about this place. What do they make that you cannot keep away from?
Cookie is the best way to have somebody understand what these things are who haven't experienced them, but it also falls very short of fully capturing what they are. They're so much more than cookies. They appear to be large cookies, but then you crack them open and it's just you're in a fairyland of joy.
Now, is this a group-wide obsession or is this just you, Dave?
No, this is group-wide. We've been going there since we were first friends back in college, and cookies usually don't come in loaves, but this place serves them up real big, 6 ounces.
Also wanted to thank you for pronouncing it Levain in the traditional patriotic, incorrect French pronunciation. That's how we say it too, and people try to correct us and we're sticking to our guns.
It's Levain Bakery. Yeah,
don't even try.
Guys, thanks for coming in. It's been a real pleasure to meet you, and thanks for playing for us. What do you want to wrap up today with?
We are going to play a song called My Gal My Guy, which is also off of the new record.
Under the bluest sky for me, I belong to her when I'm in the water. Some folks towel dry, but I don't bother. Down we go into the city, oh, Mount Kisco going. Let's go overseas. Let's go to the
That is My Gal, My Guy. It's music live in the JPR studios from the band Darling Side, from their new record called Birds Say, out on 30 Tigers. It's Dave Senft, Don Mitchell, Oyon Mukherjee, and Harris Passeltiner. Guys, thanks again for coming by.
Thanks you
very much for having us.